You know what Michael has so well pointed out? If you need a new start, if you need something new, you got to begin with God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You cannot start with God and it go wrong. You cannot start with God and it be messed up. You cannot start with God and it end in failure. In the beginning, God. Oh, let's praise Him in this place tonight. Could you do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need that new, begin with God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Lord, we worship You. Lord, we honor You. Lord, we thank You. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, choir. That was powerful tonight. And I would encourage, if you're in this service and you need that new, don't leave here without coming to Him and let Him make all things new in your life. Amen. So appreciate the service tonight and the encouragement. Let me say something in brief, and I wish all our choir members could hear this too, but I've been in church, around church, here in America all my life, and I've been in the ministry getting real close to 40 years. And I have never seen a time where the church was under attack like it is today. And in particular, the church that seeks to hold the truths like they were once delivered unto the saints. Amen. So how do you respond and how do you react to that? Well, I know there's the easy answers. Pray more, you know, this and that. But I'll tell you what I feel in my heart today. How do you respond to that? You just lift Jesus higher. You just keep the focus on Jesus. You keep preaching about Jesus. You keep singing about Jesus. You keep believing that when folks meet Jesus, there's a complete and total transformation in their lives. How many with me feel like we just want to keep uplifting Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you turn in your scriptures to Ephesians chapter 4? And again, Sister Rebecca read this portion to begin service this morning. And I appreciate when the Lord orchestrates things too, you know. Hallelujah. Either you're resting or I killed the service. I'm not sure which here with that word of exhortation. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of these verses? I wish I had time to exposit these. I'm not. I'm just going to read these for the one another that we're going to look at this evening. Paul said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. You Christians, put these things away. Also get rid of that malice stuff. Then in verse 32, so much in this verse, usually children start learning this in primary Sunday school. And be ye, remember ye as you all, be you all kind one to another. And he follows that with the be is in there, be tenderhearted, be forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We've talked about forgiving one another, but tonight we're going to look at that be ye kind one to another. Could you, everyone with me, and I know our children know this, but could you all in unison say this with me? Be ye kind one to another. Now look at somebody and say it. See if it's not a little more difficult. Be ye kind one to another. Okay, you don't have to poke them in the ribs. Just say it to them. God bless you. You can be seated. Now listen. I usually don't take suggestions for what I preach on. Now, I've known of that. I've known up on the platform, one of the men up on the platform said to the visiting evangelist, could you preach on so-and-so tonight? And the preacher made a note of that and said, I'll try to work that in. So there's not a suggestion box that says, could you preach on this? So I don't normally take suggestions, but I had one of our elders come to me, an elder that I would always listen to, and really confirmed what the next one another should be. He said to me something like this, Brother Hurst, on this one anothering series, have you thought about preaching about that one, be ye kind one to another? And followed with something like this, I don't know why people can't just be kind to one another. I don't know if he had experienced anything personally or not that put that on his mind, but I tell you, it ought to be on our minds, the necessity of being kind one to another, because we've never lived in a society, in a world that is as unkind as we're in. Kindness is a rarity. And what I'm really afraid of is that all the bitterness, all the fighting, all the rudeness, all the crudeness, all the hatefulness of our culture has inundated, permeated even the church of Jesus Christ. I believe that part of the culture has ebbed in. It ought not to be. If there ought to be a distinct demarcation that when you leave the unkindness of the world and step into a church amongst God's people, you ought to feel a marked change in the climate. It ought to go from unkindness to kindness. Amen. There's that cutting, that critical, that cruel, that condescending demeanor towards others that has so permeated people's relations today. I mean, you could name any branch, any occupation, and the unkindness is there. Now, you know, I'm not saying everybody's unkind. I'm preaching a message, but the truth of the matter is, it is a huge problem. It is something we're up here. How many just agree? There has there been so much unkindness, just hatefulness. You don't believe that. Go out on the road tonight and get in front of somebody and go just a little bit slow, like 1 mile over the speed limit, and just watch how kindness just comes descends upon you, right? Wrong. It's unkindness. But above all others, Christians should be kind. And I'm going to give you two reasons tonight. Number one, Christians should be kind because it ought to be in their nature. It ought to be in the born-again nature of kindness. But they also ought to be kind because God has been so kind to us. Amen? So kind to us. We're going to see that that's the main reason that we can be kind. God has been kind to us. Now listen, you know, we've been together a long time and so I can say these things and you understand they come to you with love. But you know, there comes a time we have to move the message out of the realm of the theological and the theoretical and move the message into the realm of practice and reality. I don't know how many times I've said this, not about you folks, but about Christians in general. When are folks just going to get what this being a Christian's all about? Just get it. Change nature. We think different. We feel different. We have different attitudes. And above all else, Christians should be kind. Let me talk tonight, first of all, what is being kind? It's a very interesting word. I won't bore you with the way I derive this, but the original word for kind simply means this. It means good, benevolent, pleasant. Let me ask you something. Would people couple your name with the word pleasant? After they've been around you, would they couple your name with the word pleasant, benevolent? Kind also means sympathetic. You're able to identify with others in their needs. Sympathetic, but it goes beyond just being sympathetic. You're helpful to people. That's being kind. Considerate. You're thoughtful of others. You know, kindness is like a lot of words, even love. They're hard to define, but we know it when we see it. And let me tell you something, kindness is kind of hard to define, but we know when we're treated with kindness. How many knows when you're treated with kindness? We also know something else. Let's all be honest. It's good for us and it limbers up the arms. We also know when we're being unkind. Let me see your hand. Okay. So we know when we're being treated by kindness, and we know when we're being unkind, even though it's hard to define. Christians should be kind, okay? If you don't believe so, let me ask you this. Should Christians be crabby? Sour? Rude? Crude? Hateful? Bitter? Mean-spirited? Stiff? Standoffish? Bigot? So I think you agree with me. Christians should be kind. You know, so much of kindness and unkindness is tied to our words to one another. I mean, how would you respond? You know, I see your open hearts tonight, but how would you respond if I got up here tonight and say, "You bunch of backslidden hypocrites, let me tell you something. You need to be kind." One of the interesting things I have found is people unkindly telling me how people are unkind to them. Have you ever ran into someone that like that? In a very unfriendly manner, they tell you how people are not friendly with them. And much of it is conveyed with our words one to another. Sometimes it's in the absence of our words. We don't say what we should say and could say to others. I've seen folks try to shake hands with somebody, and the person they're trying to shake hands with won't even look at them in the eye. Did you know you can be kind with so easily? I mean, after service, you can be kind. You can shake my hand and say, "Pastor, that was a wonderful message." You know how kind that is? You know, some people are so honest. One fellow met me up here on a Sunday night and said, "Pastor, that message this morning was really good, but that one tonight, not so much." So what we say or we don't say, just saying hello in the right way. "Hi, how you doing?" Amen. You convey kindness. But you can convey unkindness with what you say. Cutting down people, making fun of people, gossiping about people. So unkind. I've seen people up here trying to do something for the Lord and somebody kind of making fun of them as they tried to do it. Kindness would have went a lot further in seeing that person encouraged and through their encouragement, blessing others. But you know, out of everything we could say or not say, did you know really, listen to me, really there's no unkindness. There is no unkindness like just ignoring and treating someone as if they don't exist. The greatest unkindness is just to ignore people in your life and to treat them like they don't exist. That's the ultimate unkindness. You know, we were at that big meeting. And listen, I'm not sharing this to be a critical of anyone. I'm just talking about our default human nature. And after one of the services, one of the restaurants we like to eat in, it was filled with people from that meeting. There's a lot of people. And I had been down to Oklahoma that day to see my parents and got in late, so we got to lunch late. As we walked in, there's all these people fellowshipping at all these tables, all these church folks. And there's one man, a handicapped man, and he had come to the meeting by himself, and he was seated all by himself, and he was just about finished eating. And we sat down near that area, and my wife looked at me, and she said, "I cannot believe that. She wasn't being critical. She was just an observation. She said, all those church people sitting there, and that man ate by himself? And then she made the statement. She said, nobody should have to eat by themselves. Now, I share that not to be critical, folks. I'm just telling you, our default nature sometimes is not to think of ways we can be kind. You see what I'm trying to say? Because kindness is something that we don't always feel, but we can learn and we can practice. That was a case of no one trying to be unkind. That was a case of where we just need to learn and to practice kindness and showing kindness. So what is that? Amen. What is kindness? It's being approachable. People feel like they can come to you and they feel warmed by approaching you. It's taking away the embarrassment from people. Praise the name of the Lord. I was at that special meeting a while back, one of the speakers, and I came out with my shirt collar like that. My wife wasn't with me. I guess there was a mirror in the room. I don't know, but my wife wasn't with me. And one of my pastor friend's wife, she just came up to me real nice. She said, Brother Hurst, would you mind if I straightened your collar? I'll never get it. Wasn't that kind? Sister Dearth, about every Sunday morning, she tells me, Pastor Hurst, your tie's crooked. And I said, no, it's my head. I said, you watch. I'll be lying up here in the casket, and she'll walk by and straighten my tie. Taking away people's embarrassment. Making people feel comfortable, like I just did Sister Dearth. Make people feel comfortable. We have visitors. Make them feel comfortable. Inquire after people. You want to really know how to be kind? Just listen to people. You can start tonight. Just listen to people. That's really kind when they're talking to you. Amen. And so if I had to summarize, what does it mean to be kind? Simply put, pay attention to people and treat them as if they matter. That's what Christians do. That's kindness. If I have a desire to show kindness, it will be a desire to make others happy rather than myself. It'll be a desire to make others feel valuable other than that I have to be the center of it all. That's kindness. What is the source of being kind? You may not see at first why I turned to this verse, but it's so important. 1 Peter 2:3. We've used this verse for a lot of things, testifying of God's goodness. But it says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Why did I choose this verse? Because in the original, the word translated gracious is the same exact word when Paul said, be kind one to another. Here it says, you have tasted, you have experienced that the Lord is kind. The Lord is gracious. To be gracious is to be kind. Amen. What's the source of our kindness? We realize God has been so kind to us. We were unworthy. We were undeserving. But hasn't our God been kind to us? Amen. When we didn't deserve it, He was kind. When we messed up, He was kind. When we blew it, He was kind. When we got ourselves in the mess, He was kind. Amen. When we didn't think, He was kind. Did you know one of the most frequent words of the Old Testament is chesed? Loving kindness. God has loving kindness. Listen to that word, how love and kindness are put together. Our God has shown us loving kindness. No wonder the psalmist in Psalm 63, he said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee, O lift up my hands unto thy name. Even the source of kindness is God has been kind to me. Therefore, kindness is simply treating others like God has treated us. Oh, hallelujah. That's kindness. I want to tell you something. First of all, God's kind because He gives me the time of day. Have you ever heard God tell you, I'm too busy? I don't have time to talk to you. I'm going to ask you something. Have you ever had God smart off to you? Have you ever approached God and found Him sour towards you? Has God ever ridiculed you, made fun of you? Has God ever just tore you up, cut you down because of your failures, your shortcomings? Has God ever avoided you? Has God ever been grouchy or gruff towards you? The answer is no, no, no. Oh, church, oh, people, aren't you so glad that God treats us with kindness? That's the source of our kindness. But it's not just the example of God's kindness to us. And it's not just that we are recipients of God's kindness and thus should show it to others. It's the fact that when we are saved and born again, we take on His nature. We have the nature of God. I'm not talking about His deity. I'm talking about the likeness of His heart. We love like God. We care about folks like God. We're kind. Listen, if we are truly Christians, His nature ought to be rubbing off on us, or I really should say, ought to be being rubbed into us. And that's a kind nature. It ought to be our very nature. Look what it says in Romans chapter 2 and 4. And again, I use this, though it's translated differently. It's the same word. He said, despisest thou the riches of His goodness, His kindness and forbearance and longsuffering? Listen to this. I've preached this for a lot of different reasons, different than tonight. But it says, not knowing that the goodness of God, the kindness of God, leadeth you to repentance. You want to know why we're saved tonight? Simple. God was kind to us. That's why we're saved. He's kind to us. And knowing that it was the kindness of God that led us to salvation, would it not be our kindness to other folks that would lead them to repentance? If God's kindness led us to repentance, would not our kindness lead folks to repentance? I believe it would. I said, I believe it would. I want to promise you, a sour Christian never led someone to Christ. A critical Christian doesn't lead folks to Christ. A rude Christian doesn't lead folks to Christ. A hateful Christian doesn't lead folks to Christ. But it's somebody that shows the kindness of God. I had seen this. I was reminded of it. I heard someone speak of it recently. And I don't remembered enough to know all the particulars of it, but not too long back, they did a world survey, 37 different countries. And the question was, what trait in a person do you find most attractive? And knowing the message tonight, guess what was at the top of the list, that out of 37 countries of the world, the trait that most people found the most attractive in another, whether it was their husband, wife, or someone, kindness. That was the most attractive. Last of all tonight, what is the rule for being kind? I know people don't like rules, but there's a really good rule for being kind. There's a scripture that if we get this scripture, we would be kind. Here it is. It's from Jesus. Matthew 7:12, the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Here it is. If I get this, I'll be kind. If I treat others the way I want to be treated, I'll be kind. If I'll listen to people the way I want to be listened to, I'll be kind. If I speak to people the way I like to be spoken to, I will be kind. If I give people the benefit of the doubt, like I desire the benefit of the doubt, I will be kind. Amen. You know, it does come down to driving. There's a lot of road rage and all of that. But you know, when we do something dumb, we want people to understand. Don't we? How many has never ever did, that you've that's driven more than a week, how many of you have never ever done something dumb when you were driving? How many's done some pretty dumb things when you was driving? Ever pulled out in front of somebody? Ever stopped where there's not a stop sign? Ever went where there was a stop sign? Yeah? And when we do it, we expect people to be, oh, just God, oh, I understand. That's okay. But when it's done to us, what do we feel? That ignorance. You know. I had experience in Oklahoma, there's toll roads everywhere. It looks like they'd have the state paid for by now, but and to go to my parents' house, you're on two or three. And so I'm traveling along, eating sunflower seeds, and you pay at toll plazas. Now, it's totally different than when I lived there. In Midway, you're paying at toll plaza, and if you get off before the end of it, you show a receipt, and they refund. They take all your money, and then they refund a little bit of it when you get off. And so I pull into where I got to get off at. And I've got all kinds of snacks, Boston baked beans and sunflower seeds and double bubble, whatever it is. I was trying to remember the other thing I had, gum and something else. And it's all on the seat. And I've just got the music up. And I pull in there and it says, show receipt for refund. But when I pulled in, the lady was busy with the people going the other way. It took her a while, and the first thing she said to me, she said, I want to tell you something. People are being weird today. Okay. So I reached over and handed the receipt, and she looks at it. She's just griping. She looks at the receipt. This ain't the right one. I gave her the one from the first place. And I couldn't find the right one. She made me nervous, you know. And I'm looking in all my pockets. And it occurred to me I was one of those people being weird, you know. And I couldn't find it. So I'd already paid the toll. So I said, forget it. And I started to roll up the window and just go on through. Oh, she got livid. Where are you going? You can't just leave here. There's a process, don't you understand? And the Lord helped me. I found the other receipt finally and got my $1.30 change. But I left feeling so weird. Look how she affected me. If she could have just been kind to me in my stupidity of having the wrong receipt. In other words, if she had treated me like the roles were different, and she was sitting in the car, and I was in the toll booth, there would have been kindness. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. I want the music to come, but don't play yet. I've got a song at the end of this. I probably told you before, young people, I just wanted to share this because I was young then, and it's nobody's business, so I won't tell you what it was that was making me feel this way, but as a teenager, when I got cold in my soul, and, you know, that time when you can stay out late and you're dating and this and that and you're running with your friends, there were many times when I would start home in a race to try to make my curfew. I'd start feeling really bad about some things I'd participated in or things I had watched or this or that. And I remember feeling so bad. And you know, when you feel bad, when you know to do right and you're a Christian and you do wrong and you feel bad, many times a hopelessness will settle in on you. You know what I'm talking about? You just, like God's through with you and all of that. And I don't know why it was this song. Actually, it's from the song, He Leadeth Me of All Things. He leadeth me by His own hand, He leadeth me. But there was one verse, actually just a couplet from one verse that when I would begin to feel that way, I begin to hear play in my head. And you know what it was? It was simply this. Kind to the erring one, faithful is He. And in those moments, hearing those words, kind to the erring one, knowing that God was kind, what a difference it made in my life. And kindness, our kindness, can make a difference in others' lives. Amen. I just want you to listen to this song right before we play. But we pray. We pray. Listen to this.
face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend that's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place. Show a little bit of love and kindness. Never go around with hate and blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend that's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place. Sad and lonely people everywhere. Be a friend. Be a friend. Show some love. Show some love. It will lift them from the dungeons of despair. Show a little bit of love and kindness. Never go around with hatred and blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend that's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place.
Offer help.
Offer help.
Bring some hope.
Bring some hope.
Through the fading and discouraged on life's road.
This song or not, one thing about it, it's the kind that gets in your head and sticks with you. Amen. Let me tell you, one of the things that's not so fun about preaching, that you have to listen to your own preaching and get convicted by your own preaching, right? So how many, would you stand across the building? Remember how I started this? I said, there comes a point we have to move what we believe from the realm of theory and theology and move it into the realm of practice and reality. How many would join me tonight in these altars and say, Lord, I just want to be more kind? Maybe you come with that happy face they were singing about. Could you come? Let's seek the Lord. Lord, I want to be more kind. Amen. Would you join me? Praise the Lord. God, because you've been kind to us. Yeah.